Dzień dobry.
Hej, hej, hej. dziękuję, ja dostaję się ten. Okay, thank you. Yes, okay, dziękuję bardzo. Okay, we can start. The lights went off, so I feel a little bit comfortable, I hope, so nobody can see you. You can all see me. Daily indexing problems, it's very, very interesting to see that it's such an interesting stuff. For over 3 years since I'm doing international conferences, I see most of the sessions I'm giving is about indexing, and that's completely full. And at that time, because it's 4:30, that's the normal way when the Germans will go off work. So thank you so much that you will enjoy, that you will attend my session about daily indexing problems. If you have any questions, feel free to ask, whether in the session or if it doesn't fit to the special problem, then feel free to come to me after the session. I'm here for another 30 minutes then. Thank you for this event, for the sponsors. I think that everybody of you knows, without the sponsors, these events won't happen. So thank you very much. Visit their booth. I think there is a raffle, maybe today, don't know. This is me. This is a little bit commercial. Forget everything what's standing there. Most important for you to know, this is my email address. This is not a fake address. It's a real address. It's my business address. If you have any questions concerning this session, and you're too shy to come to me, I'm a very smart guy, then you can send me an email. I promise to answer every single question instead of my credit card number and the referring PIN number and what my wife likes best. So, uwe.ricken@dbberater, that's okay. There you can send me an email. I would glad to help you. This is another blah, blah. We can shut off. Okay, this is our agenda. We are short in time, so these are the points I want to deal with, I want to show you. This is a very, very demo-driven session, so that means all of the things what you see here is a demo for that. You don't have to make photos. You don't have to write. To be honest, you can't. You can't write as fast as I can type. And so I will prepare a download. I will send it to the organizers, and then you can download them from the Polish user group. We start with a very harmless thing. It's a 200-level problem with partition views. We go to is null and searchable. A few of you, I think, were in the session from Aaron before. So he told a little bit about searchable queries. I want to show you a special problem you can have with that where you wouldn't expect it. Correct data types for predicates. This is a really important thing. And this is something I see very, very often. Influence of foreign key constraints, hierarchy of data types, very interesting. And side effect of wrong collation, this is all very harmless. I think it's for training, let's say. The last point, this is a little bit more difficult. This is more than the competition itself. You see, it's a 400. It might be a little bit, it might be difficult, but I think we all together, we can fit it. We can get it working. Okay. General information, all the examples you will see here, they are coming from real problems. I am working for many, many customers in Germany and Europe since the last 3 years, and I saw very, very often exactly special these things here where I've decided, okay, let's make a story of it. That means when I see the customers say, hey, my server is slow, what is the problem? Most of them say, buy new hardware. The funny thing, it works sometimes. So, yeah, these are real problems. The only thing what I did not do is I'm not dealing with this huge amount of data I have seen. And every introduction slide will contain a web link to my, unfortunately, German blog. So if you're interested and you want to learn a little bit German, feel free to visit my blog. That's it. Now we can go. We can start. This is the first scenario I see, and it's called partitioned view problem. And the story behind is very simple. We had a customer who was dealing with the standard edition of SQL Server, so he was not able to use partitioning. So what will you do if you have a huge amount of data, you want to charten them, you want to split them onto different tables? So what they then did was they created for every single year a dedicated table. That's very simple. So if you have orders from the last 10 years, so that means that they will have for every single year one table. What then the next step was, they put it into a view or in my demo into a function where they give over the time range from 2 and then they run a select on it. The problem was that when they created these views, it took a huge amount of I/O. Because, I think you know what the problem is, it scanned all 10 tables. In this, in my example, it's only 2. And I want to show you how it was working. First question to you before you ask me, can everybody read this? Is this large enough? Perfect. Okay, so this is preparation only. I create my database. Done. So, oh, here it is. So what I do is I go into my DemoDB and I create 2 tables. The first one, can you please put the lights a little bit off? It's blending me. Thank you. So I put in the actual orders. What you can see is that only a primary key, so a clustered index on the ID, and I have 1 history table. The history table has exactly the same structure. Go for it. And now, yeah, a little commercial thing. So it's Redgate. What I'm doing is I'm filling the table with demo data. Something what I would really strongly recommend to you, don't work with 10 or 100 records. This is not enough, and I promise every single query will run definitely fast. But if you're dealing with a million records, then it looks completely different. So, go with it. Yeah, okay. And I generate the data. So what I now have is I produce 100,000 history orders and 10,000 actual orders. We can go over and check it. So, with SAT statistics I/O on, you can see how many pages the system is accessing in the RAM. So, I wanted to change my my business model. I don't want it to be paid by hour. I want it to be paid by saving I/O, but unfortunately, the customer was not agreeing to that. So here you can see the actual orders is from 2013, and I get it. Let's have a look to it. Here is my I/O, and sorry, this is the new, brand new management studio. You see, it's 288 I/Os. The execution plan is a very simple thing. It runs an index scan. Okay. Let's check what the system will do when we run a query over both tables. So with the customer had 10 table, that means that we had to run a union all on all 10 tables. And here I do it on these 1 and 2nd, the history, and look what happens. The execution plan looks, to be honest, fantastic, isn't it? Hey, a cool plan. But now look to the I/O, you will see it's not so good. Here is my I/O. So the history table, a scan does always mean it's the full table will be searched. So that means we have 2,870 logical I/Os, and the developer saw that and he created an index. But before he did it, he created an access layer for the application. In my case, it's a function. It could be exactly the same with a partition view, with a view. Yeah. Here I say, I put the data into a function. And now we have the access layer. I do exactly the same. I run it for the for 2013, for the whole 2013. Here is my data. And here you can see how the execution plan looks like. And as I said, it looks wonderful, but unfortunately, this wonderful is the problem here. You see, this is a scan. And at the moment it is an index scan, it doesn't mean it put the whole table, it searches the whole table. I make it visible with the query trace on flag. And here you see the disaster. Who? Here it is, it's a filter. The same as when you will go in the morning to your, you stand up, you go to your kitchen, and what you do, you want to have a coffee. So you take the cup, go to the coffee machine, put the coffee in, and most So I absolutely love to have milk in my coffee. What you normally do is you go to the fridge, put these little cans of milk, put it in. Fantastic. What you're doing here with this filter is you stand up, take the coffee, looking for milk. You're calling the, how do you say, Molkerei? You're calling the producer of the milk. They came with a truck. 100,000 liters. You go out with a cup of coffee, put in a little bit, and you throw the rest away. This is exactly what happens here. You can see it here. Here, this is my truck coming with 100,000 liters. And I put only the predicate. This is nothing. So that means I wanted to have no milk in. Yeah. So, and this is a waste of resources from SQL Server. So not the problem is SQL Server is a problem, but the query is the problem. Let's see how we can fit it. The developer has seen it. We told him, hey, we have a problem here. What did he do? Perfectly. He said, okay, I create an index. Absolutely okay. He put it on the order date because we are running a query on the order on the date. Here it is. Let's check it. Now I run three queries at the same time, one for 2012, 2013, and one for 2012 and 2013. Come on, here's the execution plan. The first one looks bad from my point of view, because here you see that's an index seek. Perfect. It goes traversal through the index, hit the point, and then it gets to the records. And here we do it with the history. You see now the system has selected from the history, which is perfect, the 1,600 records. But the problem is that it hits the actual orders too. Why does SQL Server do it? It does not know that there will be no records for 2012 in the actual orders. It's an history table. So where does SQL Server become aware of it? The same with the second. Go to the second one. Here it is, completely the actual, the other side. Now it looks into the actual orders, and it tries to find new data in the history orders too. And the second one, this looks perfect. Now, the system hit both tables, and we find records in both tables from 2012 and from 2013. And this is absolutely okay, but the problem I see here is, think of a system with high concurrency. What would be the best idea? The best would be that if SQL Server would know that we have 2012 data, that the system will only look in the history table instead of both tables. Because we are blocking resources, you know, every select will cause a blocking. So, shared lock. So what can we do? The tip is very simple. We put in check constraints. That's what I'm doing here. I put into the actual orders that I say that everything older than 2013, 1st of January 13, is in the actuals, and the rest is in the history table. And now it works perfect. Here you see that the execution plan now is never ever touching again the history table. I think it's a good thing. So what the customer only had to do, and that was simple to implement, we put in a check constraint on every single history table. History 2012, history 2011, and so on. And then it worked. Easy, isn't it? Go for it. So when you have to deal with typical history table scenarios, then you should make sure that you're using check constraints to avoid the unnecessary access to any other object which where you say, hey, there could be no data in. The check constraints make, the query optimizer does know from a check constraint or checks these constraints, say, hey, there can be no data in, and it never accesses it. You will see another example with foreign keys for that. So check constraints will make sure that the objects will not be accessed. Is null and searchable predicate, that was a funny stuff. And that was a problem, to be honest, that was one thing what the developer did, what's not really allowed. So we had a table in the production system, and what the developer did, He created a copy of the table with his own metadata, put in the data, and runs query against this. And then when everything was fine, he said, okay, I will implement the index I have developed, and this index will then be used on the production system. Unfortunately, the query did not work as expected. And I want to show you how or why this didn't work. And this is from a real customer too. So here we are. So the first table is the prod table, the production table, and the second one is the test table from the developer. First of all, let's have a look to the production table. What you can see here is that the country code and the SIP are nullable. That means they are allowing null values. And this is what the developer did. So from the pure metadata, it looked nearby identical, but the problem was that the developer said, in my scenario, the values are not nullable. So I fill the data. And what I do is, excuse me, here I put the data into the prod system and I make absolutely sure that I have really exactly the same values in the test table by saying, okay, please put the data from the production table which was been filled previously. Go ahead. Here they are. Okay, perfect. So now I have my data. Now we run. They created an index. It was created on the country code. And you see that's on the prod, the same index as it is on the test table. And let's check what he did. I only run the results in a variable, so I'm not interested in the output, but in the execution plan. And this is my execution plan. First of all, have a look to the I/O. That looks really great. We have only two I/Os. We have 10,000 records in. When you look to the execution plan, here it is. Wonderful. Wonderful. 145 records, two IOs, perfect. So what did he then? He implemented the code in the production system. And here we run it again. Come on, go, go, go. Here is my... Lesson learned for me was don't use new modern software before a session when you give it, because it's a new SQL Server Management Studio. So here it is on the production system. Oops. It looks completely... Oh, come on. Yeah. That looks strange. We are using exactly the same query, but in the production system, it uses a scan. What happened here? Aaron told us about searchable, non-searchable queries. That does mean that when you're running a function on one side of the code, where we include the column of a table, it has to calculate for every single row the new value. So what does this mean in that code? It does mean, hey, check whether in country code is something in. If it's empty, please use AA. Strange. The problem here is that the developer has made his query based on wrong assumptions. He has tables with not nullable columns. And that was the problem here. The real table had over 10 million rows. So what can he do, or what can you do? Basically, the key point is, when you're running with is null, and the SQL Server detects, hey, the values can't be null, then it will be eliminated. So that means from a non-searchable query, it will automatically turn into a searchable query. Because the query optimizer does recognize, hey, it can't be null, why should I use the function? With the code from the production system, it was not possible. So what we did, we changed it. Come on. Come on, here it is. Solution. Oh, come on. Hey, You see 150%. The problem with the new SQL Server Management Studio is that when you resize the code or the output, both windows will resize at the same time. Funny thing. So this might be the right code. It looks a little bit complicated, but it's exactly what we need to do. We need to turn the non-searchable query into a searchable query. And this is when we call it by dedicated is now or. And now it works perfect. You see the logical reads is reduced. Here we have 4, and this is the execution plan. It looks a little bit more complicated, but it's very easy. Okay? Go back to 100. And go. Good. So when you're dealing with non-searchable functions, then you have to make sure, watch your execution plan, especially if you have Coalesce, as Aaron has told you, or in my case, when you're dealing with isNull with these functions, make sure that the execution, that you definitely have a look to the execution plan. It might look different, and the problem here with the developer was that he did not check the complete metadata. He said, okay, this is my table, put in not null, not null, not null. It worked perfectly, but the real production system was completely different. Correct data types. Oh, yeah, that was a funny thing. That was hard. So the customer had a new application, and this application suffered from performance when searching for customer numbers. The problem with the software was that the customer number was from type varchar, and the system had it was, how do you say, it was, you can could handle multiple customer groups. So that means you have a mandant ID, so we call it mandant. And within that, you can have multiple customers. Say you have the corporate A and their customer numbers, you have the corporate B, and so on. And we had the problem with an index, because we thought, hey, it couldn't work. Why was it not possible to work? And I show you what happened to this customer, correct data type. So here is my table. I have the customer table, very simple. I have this mandant ID. Mandant does mean, yeah, we have multiple businesses, multiple customers with their own range of customer numbers, the customer ID and the customer name. And when I fill it, and that was here, exactly one problem, one of two, you see that the customer ID is a character field. When we talked to the vendor, he said, and that was absolutely clear, and it was perfect what he said, come on, I can't do it numeric because I don't know what numbering or what type of customer numbers our customers wanted to use. So I create it, and now I fill it, and now the disaster begins when you look to the filling, you see that the mandant ID is for my customer, we only had one group, one corporate group. So that means the mandant ID was always one. We had not only this one. And I put in 150,000 data. Yeah, done. And here is the solution from the, here is the solution from the vendor. He created a clustered index on the mandant ID and the customer ID. So both together have to be unique. So, and let's check how many data pages we have. Here you can see that my system, Opala, come on, is using 1,725 data pages. The data pages are containing the data itself. And now we look what the query is doing. Set statistics IO on, and here is my query. So we only have one mandant, and we have the customer ID 10,489. So we run the query, and look what happens. First of all, look to the execution plan. Does it look good? I think yes. From the first view, it looks fantastic because what we're using is we are using an index seek. This is what we want. On the second view, you see here this exclamation mark, and when you look to it, unfortunately it's in German, but I will translate it to you, just a second. It says, hey, there is a warning which say, we have a conversion of the data type, and this may lead to wrong cardinal estimates. And when I look to the I/O, I see where the problem is. I see a seek, but look to the I/O. The obvious seek isn't a seek. It is a scan. But do you have an idea why the system has shown you an index seek, which might think you might, which when you see it, you might think, hey, this is a very cool and very optimized thing. It's the Mandant ID. It's for sure running in seek, but it's a running in seek only from the first column on the Mandant ID. And this is always one. And then we have a problem that the rest of it, when we're looking for the customer ID, there is a scan. And this is what I want to make here visible for you. Here, you will see what is really going on. I see one record. We have seen the I/O, and here it is. It's exactly the same situation when I told you the story with the coffee and the milk. We will go with 50,000 records. We put on one and have a look to it. We are looking for a predicate. A predicate does always mean it is a filtering. And do you see what happens? When you look to it, you see that here, we have a convert implicit. The convert implicit itself is not the problem, but the problem is on what side of the predicate is standing. It's standing on the side of the column, and that does mean that it has to go through every single row and convert the customer ID, which is character, into an integer and compare it to the number 10,489. Strange thing. And this is the hierarchy of data types. I think most of you who are developers know about it. And this is the problem what we have here. The numeric values are in the hierarchy higher than the... it's 5 euros in the coffee cash, no problem. The integer, so the numeric values are in the hierarchy of the data, much higher than the strings. And that does mean if I have to convert one side, it looks for the one which is the higher one, and the other one has to be the same. And this runs into a problem in my query. When you look to the query, you see that this my predicate is now the number. This is the integer, and this does mean that the system now have to convert the customer ID, which is character, which is lower, into an int. We changed the queries in the reports, and then it worked perfectly. Here it is. And now we look to the execution plan, and it is perfect. Now we have an index seek, the same, but look to the I/O. You can see we have only 3 I/Os, and this is perfect. So, if you see execution plans, and you see an exclamation mark on one of the operators, then with a very, very high reason it is for a convert implicit. And you should or you can avoid these convert implicit, whether on the predicate side or on the column side, by using the right and the correct data types. I see it so often because it's quick and dirty, ad hoc queries. They are using exactly in this case, they did that was the error they did, and we changed it, and suddenly everything went fine. Yeah? So make sure that you always use the correct data types. Oh, come on. And go. Any questions so far? Oh, I see. It's easy. Very easy. Okay. Now, this was a funny thing, let's say, you would say when you see the example, you would say, oh, it's not normal, but do you have the customer who was exactly dealing with this? Come on, here. We have the customers and the invoices, and the query he was running was only on the invoices table, but he wanted to make sure that he had invoice amounts only from existing customers. The problem was we didn't have a referential integrity, so we didn't have a foreign key relation in between. So there were only two tables. So what did he do? He joined it together, and that was okay. But the problem, the key point here is, we only need the information from the invoice table, but not from the customer table. The customer table is for us only for referencing. And we wanted to eliminate the access to it. Oops. And this is how it was going on. So here's my customer table. Here is my invoice table. So we dropped it, first of all. Okay. Name Street 3D. Oh, very, very exciting. Very standard. Here is my invoices. Here you see the customer ID, which is the which contained the data. I open my project. What is it? 50. So I put in 1,000 customers and 100,000 invoices. Here they are. Now we create our indexes on it. So that was the situation. Let's check it. So what you can see from this query here, the customer ID come from the invoices, the amount is coming from the invoices, and the group by everything is coming from the invoices table. So what the developer is using, he's using the customers in an inner join to make sure that only invoices from really existing customers are in. And we look to the execution plan. Here it is. So this is my customer ID. And we see the I/O. That looks good. From my point of view, first of all, it looks good. But you see that we have a scan on the customers. 15 IOs. Think about if you would get 10 zloty per IO you could spend. That would be okay. Then we have a beer together in a bar. And check it. Come on. What the developer first of all did was he was changing the index. You see it here, what the system is doing, it's a hash match. Hash match is a very expensive operator. The hash match is an operator you maybe know from a very famous movie. Does anybody know Men in Black Part 2? Think so, yeah? Do you remember the situation when Jay came into the post office where Kay was in? He lost his mind. He didn't know that he was a man in black. And they went to the back office, and there was a sorting machine with the letters. Do you know this? That's a hash match. It's a hash match. The data will come in, and you build boxes, hash buckets, and then the letters will come in. The problem with the hash match is that it is a stop operator. That means the operation can only finish when the data completely have been scanned from this table into this sorting operation. And then they will go to the next one. Hashes are expensive. And the second point for hash match is why it is expensive. It uses TempDB. Yeah? So what did he do? He created, first of all, an index on the customer ID and included the amount. This is absolutely okay because we are looking for the customer ID, we are looking for the amount, and that's perfect. So we cover everything and we run it again. Let's check whether it's working. Here it is. Wow. Hoppala. That looks much better. Now we have changed, this is only the first step. Now we have changed the hash operator to a merge operator, which means this is a flowing operator. By the data are coming and they are moving straight forward. When they have joined the data, it only automatically moves to the next operator. That's very fast. There is no stop in between because the data will come in an ordered way. But the problem we have here, and now we think, please, we have 1,000 customers here. This customer I was dealing with had over 60,000 customers, and not only Name Street, Zip City, hey. There was a record with the length of 2,000 bytes. So that means much more I owe than here with this funny thing. I think when I could save the I owe from the customers and I get 10 zloty per each I owe, I could invite everybody. We go to a champagne party then. Yeah? So what we have to do is we want to avoid the access to the customer's table. So what I do is I create a foreign key. Constraint, so make it checked, and let's check it again. And you will see that it's exactly the same what we had previously. Here, the complete customer access is eliminated. And this is a cool thing for the optimizer. The optimizer knows that we have a trusted foreign key relation between customers and invoices. And although we are accessing it, SQL Server eliminates the access to the customers. And it's not only in the execution plan, you can see it in the I/O too. Here it is only scanning the invoices. No more access to the customers. So if you're dealing with that, if you have multiple tables, make sure that you could use or that you can use foreign key constraints. It might be sometimes a problem, especially when you're working with data warehouses. When you run loads, it's slower. If in an OLTP system, like this one was, then it absolutely makes sense to use foreign keys. Like a zoo. So go back to 100 and drop the objects. So there's a party going on, huh? At the back side. Okay. Good. So foreign key constraints the optimizer does know that he doesn't have to check the customers because the foreign key is a trusted relation between both tables and it doesn't have to scan or to access, in our case, the customer table. The hierarchy, we jump over. This is absolute okay. That was a funny thing. Oh gosh, that was. Who is dealing with temporary tables? I think lots of you, isn't it? Create table, hash, number, and then you put in some data, you join it, and so on. And we had a huge problem. I think that many of you will have problems like collation conflict. Anybody know this error message? I think most of you. And this may definitely come to a problem when you take the wrong collation. This story here was very simple, and this was a fault not by the vendor, to be honest. This was a problem coming from the customer, because the customer didn't ask for the right collation for the server setup. So what did he do? He put in the install media, next, 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 finished, perfect. Perfect design, TimDB, perfect design, memory, everything fine. Now, the vendor came with a software, put it into the database with a restore, and then it was up and running. And then they came into the problem with the conflicts, and the vendor tried to avoid it by using collation. And this is how it was dealing. It was a website. So in intranet, they had the possibility to run multiple selects, like here. Oh, yeah, that's working. So what they did was on a website, they could mark different options. Then they said collect, and the data which they have selected was put into a temporary table, and then they run a join of it in with it. So what I'm doing then here is, first of all, I have to create a new database. So here we are. Check the collation. You see that the collation for TempDB is Latin 1 general CIIS. This is exactly the same as for the server. This is normal. Now I create my new DemoDB. Here it is. And have a look to the collation. It's general bin, so it's completely different. Takes a while. So put it into simple mode, and that's it. Here we check again the collation, and you can see definitely that we have that we have different collations. The tempdb is Latin 1 general, and the demo is Latin 1 general bin. Very easy. We can go next. Here is my customers table. Customer ID, customer number, and we have a running unique cluster key on the ID. I put in a few data, a few more. I open my project 80. Here it is. Commercials. Okay. Generate the data. 100,000 records. I can strongly recommend that you don't test with 1,000 records or with 100 records. It doesn't make sense. So here is a customer number index on it. And now here are my data. Fine. Perfect. You can see that the customer number is a varchar or a char field. And this is what the users have to select and what they then put into a temporary table. And when you create a table without naming the collation, it will automatically have the same collation as the database has. You can see it here. I didn't give any special collation name, so that's the reason why it has automatically the same collation as the database has. So here is my table. You see the customer number, not the ID. If you're working with numerics, forget everything about it. But if you're working with strings, then you run into the problem. So what I'm doing now is I have my temporary table. I put in 50 selections. Cool. So here is my first query. And this is a typical thing. You have the data in a temporary table, and then you join it with the original table. And I think you know what will happen now. Ooh. Hey. Why? you see me a little bit speech? No, it will fail with the... Wrong keyboard. I love this. Okay, here is the error message. Oh, gosh. When I come... I have to drive back to Opole. My family is in Opole. And I will say, I had a heart attack. So here you can see, cannot resolve the collation between. But this is a typical error message. Everybody of you have seen it. So what will you do? This is now the point where you may fail or will have success. The problem is on which side you decide to use the collation or which collation you will use. Just a second, I will put it here. Here is it. Now think about what will happen here with this query. First of all, will it work? Who will say, yes, it will work? Cool. Who will say, no, it won't work? The rest. Okay, let's check. For sure it will work because the collation does only tell the system, okay, we have now two different characters, two different strings. Handle them with the collation, which is named collate Latin general CIAS. But now have a look to the execution plan. The execution plan looks strange. Before we do so, here it is. Here's the problem. What did the system do? We have here our customers table with this 100,000 records. And the system has completely scanned the whole table with 397 IOs. When you look to the execution plan, you see the reason why. Here is the, come on, zoom, unpleasant. Okay, here it is a scan, but this is absolutely okay. We didn't have limited the temporary table. But the problem here is that the customers has been scanned too. And it ran through the whole 100,000. The key point is, why did the system do it? And the reason for that is very simple. We did use the wrong collation. The database itself, the original database, which I have created, has the collation bin. We say to the system, use the Latin general one. And what will happen now with the bin, with the customer table? It has to convert every single row, the customer number, into the new collation. This is... where it is? Here. Come on, where it is? Let me check. Here. Yes. Here it is. Come on, I will move it up. Look to the warnings, the type conversion in the expression convert implicit. And you see that the system will convert from C, which is the customer table. So, and this is the key point here. The system is completely scanning the user table in the user database, and this is the wrong collation what you take. When you're dealing with temporary tables, and you know that you will join them with user tables, then make sure that you always, always use the collation of the tempdb. Because, so what I have seen, in every single case, I have less data in my temp table than in my original table. And this looks like this. Come on. Here, I switch it. I take now the collation of my user database. Here it is. And look what happened. Don't take care of it. There is again a warning. It's exactly the same warning. But now it refers to the temporary table. And you can see here that the temporary table will be scanned again. However, it did it before too. We have to scan it because we want to have all data from the temporary table. And now we run the conversion from these 50 records in the tempdb table instead of the 100,000 records in the customer table. Easy, isn't it? I hope so. So, what can you do? You have two different chances. The first thing is that you define the collation within the declaration of the temp table. That could be one part. The second thing, what I would prefer in these situations, because we have very, very less data, is the work with table variables. I see sometimes people say, ooh, table variables, ugly, they're awful. Yes, they are. One core problem with table variables is that they don't store statistics. So what does this mean? Every time you run a select against a table variable, it will return one, it will say you have only one record. But with 50 records, hey, come on, this is nothing. The key point here is if you're dealing with a table variable, it always uses the collation of the context of the database, where are you in. Here you see it, put it in a recompile, and here it is. And now you look, this is my plan. This is the insert. This is my correct plan, and here you see that is perfect. Now we run a scan on the table variable, but a seek on the customers. That did help. We have decided to use the table variable solution with this customer, but to be honest, the problem was not the not the vendor in this case, but the customer, because he didn't ask for the right collation. Good. So first of all, again, new database, and we go to the solution. Yeah. Comes from my fat ass, you know, when I sit there. What's up? Just a second. Okay, so the scenario was very simple. You have to make sure that when you're dealing with that, make sure that you're using the same collation as the database has, because it's much more efficient. And if you don't want to use it, you can use table variables, because these will take the collation of the database where you're in the current context in. Wow, yeah, this is the hardcore stuff. Last chance to go. Very simple normally when you see it. So we had a scenario that was very strange. It took us 2 hours to find the problem. The developer got the order to increase the performance of a query which was using a predicate of at least 2 attributes in the table. Therefore, the developer created a new index based on these 2 heavily used attributes by the order of their cardinality. So that means the attributes with less cardinality should be the first, with the higher cardinality the second one. Although the index was used, the performance was really bad. What was going on? Strange, cool thing. We go step by step through it, because it's need a little bit more explanation. Here it is. I have my order table, and this order table you can see here, I have an order number, I have the customer ID, and an order date. And the query again, the order table was always between the customer ID and the order date, every time. So I will fill data into it, and this number 70. Come on, go. So I put in 100,000 records. Funny thing, done. Okay, we can close it now, the last thing. So, what did he do? We create a unique index on the order number, and then for the search argument, for the search in the data, we have a index on the order date and on the customer ID. Put the statistics on, and now I run, first of all, a query only for the date. Oh, here it is, okay. Only for the date, and I want to make sure that you can see the execution plan and the I.O. Here is my I.O. So, by the way, we have only 100,000 records. The customer had over 30 million records in it. That comes into the game. So. So now I put a more detail into it. I say now, I put exactly the same for 2014, but now with the customer ID equal to 5. This is my record. What do you think? We have three options. Is it better from the performance, from the I.O., than the first one? Is it exactly the same as the first one? Or is it better? Is it bad in compared to the original one? Who think it is better than before? Who think it's nothing has changed, it's the same? Okay. Who think it might be a bad solution, or it's bad compared to the original one? More of you, interesting, yeah, really interesting. So first of all, we look to the execution plan. Here it is. That looks really cool. But when you look to execution plans, I think a few of you were at the session from Grant Fritsche, or in the pre-con yesterday from Grant. He's telling you very much about execution plans. Have a look to the Seek predicate. Always, it's in German, but I think that you can understand what it is. The Seek predicate is cool. The Seek predicate is dealing with the date. This is perfect. But look to the predicate, and this is something what is really strange. The system is using the customer ID as a predicate, not as a Seek predicate. Strange, isn't it? Keep in mind, we have an index on the order date and the customer ID, both together. And I can promise the data type is not the problem here. It's a numeric thing. Everything is fine. And what we can see here is we look into the I.O. and you see it is the performance is exactly the same as it was before. We have these 11 I.O.s. Nothing has changed. This is a strange thing, isn't it? What was going on? We'll make it visible. I will make visible now the search for the customer ID. Here we are. Think about the coffee and the milk. Every time you see a filter, think about coffee and milk. Makes it easy. Here we go with 4,180 records. And then we filter the information for looking for the customer with the ID equal to 5. What has happened? The index seek is absolutely correct. Because what the system is doing, we are doing a range scan, a range seek on the index based on the date, which I would say in January 2014. So the system will say, I have found 4,180 records for January 2014. This is our leading column in the index. And we have a range. And the second thing is that, for example, the customer ID equal to 5 is in between these 4,180 records. And this is a problem for the system. So I want to show you now the statistics. I want to show you the histogram. And here you can see, I will size it a little bit more that you can see it. You can see when SQL Server is using an index seek, in most cases, it's using the histogram of the statistics. The histogram does only store the very first column, the histogram, the very first column of the index. You don't see the customer ID. You only see the dates. So what SQL Server now is looking for, it's looking for the January 2014. And it see it has rows. The number of rows is like, just a second, 2014, first 11th, here. From here to here. These are the records which SQL Server knows or expects to be resolved. These are the 4,180 records. Nothing, absolutely nothing about the customers. Yeah? What will happen now? SQL Server, oh, come on, here. So, I will look for the indexes. Oh, come on, here they are. You can see here that we have, this is my primary key, so it's a clustered index. You see here my order number, this is gal, but this is the order date. This is my index number 3. This larger, smaller, come on. I want to show you now the allocated pages of this index, because I want to get down to the index. I want to look into the index. Attention, attention, attention. Please don't do this in production. Default. It depends. Yeah? So here you can see the IAM. This is the manager. Long story short, the IAM is the manager. And here is my top page of the index. It's the number 912. I will go now into 912. This is my route. And now look to the result, and it looks really cool. Here is my first attribute of the index. Here is my second one. And now think, when you are looking for the January 2014 orders for the customer with the ID 5, you can only search in the order date first. You don't have a chance to go directly to the customer ID. No chance. So if I want to look for January 2014, I know that it must be on this page, and everything else which is up to here. These pages are exactly the pages I have to look for, because all these pages are dealing with January 2014. So what the system then is doing, okay, looks into every single page, say, okay, you are from January 2014, get the data, and then get the data from this page, and it grabs all 4,180 records. We go to the next level, because this is the root level, we go into this. Here is my so-called leaf level, and look what is here. This is a cool thing. And now, I think when you see this index in this way, you can understand what SQL Server is doing. He is scanning, or he is selecting the order date, but due to the fact that we don't have a direct comparison to the customer ID, it can't do. It first of all has to select all data from January 2014. And what is, if you are in the situation of the query engine, you would go to this, say, okay, this is January. First of all, we select every January of 2014. Is this 5? No. 5? No. 5? No. 5? And go on. And do you see what I'm doing? I'm going step by step through all records and check whether it is 5 or not. And this is what the predicate is doing. The predicate is the filter, which means that the data, 8 pages have been read, 11 pages, sorry, and then it filters in these 4,180 records by the customer ID. The problem here is that the index is wrong defined. Next time it'll come, I wear high heels, promised. So the problem here is that we have a wrong order in the index. What we did then, we switched it. Why do we? I will explain it shortly. Now I switch it and I run it again. Exactly the same query, go, look to the execution plan. There is nothing with a filter. I go to the, come on. Here I go to the seek predicates. Have a look to the seek predicates. You see now that all attributes are complete in the index, in the seek predicates. That means we first of all look for the customer ID and then we look for the range. And this is the key component in this. That was the problem here. The developer didn't recognize that the equal to is a more selective part of the query than a range scan. So if you decide to create an index, an appropriate index on columns, please keep in mind whether you're using an equal sign for a very high selective query or a range between greater than and lower than and so on. And if you have this situation, make sure in most cases you will have to have the equal predicate, the first column in your index. In most cases, it will work, and I will show you why. You will see. First of all, let's look to the IOs. We have only two IOs. I do it this way. You see, two IOs. Now we'll look again into the index. Here it is. Go, 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 go. Hep, hep, hep. Hey, yeah. Here we are. I go very far through. Here is my top level, the 1,176. Go into it. Look to the result, and now I ask you, what pages do I have to access to select to make sure that I really have every single customer record with the ID 5? I have two of them. Yeah? I have the 1144 and I have the 1145, but look to the order date. This is the second key. Now what I can say, I can definitely say I have to go to the number, let's say 1145, and I know that the order date is definitely before end of January 2014. That does mean this page I can't use. Now I know that it must be in this page, in the 1144. Let's check it out. Come on, 1144. 1144. This is so awesome. Come on. Here we are. And this is the result. Customer ID. I go to the 5. This is a seek, although I'm page down, but it is a seek. Here is my number 5. Here it is. You see? We're equal to 5. I definitely now I have to look for this one and this one. The third one doesn't fit. Because the system now, hey, my date range is only up to the 31st of January 2014. This one doesn't fit. Go, exit, go out of the operation. Cool thing, we had two IOs, the root and the leave. So if you're dealing with composite indexes, you have to make sure that you check whether you have an equal sign in the operator, mostly at the higher selective part. And then you have to make sure that this is the first attribute of your index. Then it will work. Well, sometimes it will. So here it is, its explanation, as I've shown you. So problems, check the cardinality. If range scans are part of the query, make sure these attributes are not the leading attributes of the index that it will force automatically a range scan. So, finished, yeah. So thank you very, very much that you have been in my session. I hope you enjoyed it, and I say cinkuje and goodbye, but goodbye, I don't know, do widzenia. Yeah. And if you have questions, come to me.